John chapter number 6, he said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples with them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is a very familiar story. We've heard this story ever since we was probably kids in Sunday school. I've been in church all of my life. I've heard this story all of my life. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, God blessed it, fed the multitudes, and all different angles and different ways that we've seen this story and read this story. Most of us could tell all about it ourselves without even opening our Bible. We could tell about this story. But every once in a while, when you read these things, it seems like God just shows you something that you didn't really see before. And I looked at these verses here a while back, and it just seemed like one verse kind of jumped up at me. And I thought in verse number 6, he said, and this, talking about Jesus, and this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. I want to talk just for a minute on Jesus found what he was looking for. Jesus found what he was looking for. The great need here. If you get the story and you read all 4 or 5 inches of this, you'll read that every one of them's got a little different angle, and this talks about being a desert place. Jesus was teaching on this side of Galilee, and he quits and he gets in the boats and he goes to the other side of the sea, and the multitudes heard that he was there, and they went around and walked and followed him and come around the other side. And when Jesus, he's sitting there talking with his disciples, and he looks up, here comes this multitude that he'd been talking to. They come around, and when he looks at them, he sees that they're weary. And one portion says many of them's faint, and they had a great need. I mean, many of them probably would have fainted before they got back home. And they needed. There was a need of a miracle. There was need of a working of God here in this situation. And Jesus asked the question. He said when he saw the multitudes, he lifted his eyes up and he saw them. And he saw that they was hungry. He saw that he was tired, weary. The day was wearing away. And the Bible looks at him and he asks a question. He said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And so Jesus is looking for something. He's looking and trying to find something. He knows what he's going to do, what he's going to say, because he said in that verse, and this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Yeah. And so, first of all, I want to say he asked for what he was looking for. He asked. First of all, he asked Philip. In those verses, the Bible said, and he saw the great company by it. He said, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient that every one may take a little. He asked for something, but you know what he found? He found doubt. Yeah. He found doubt. Philip looked at him and said, well, I doubt if we can help this multitude. I doubt. Look at him. I mean, 5,000 men plus women and children. Could you imagine 5,000 men plus women and children coming at you and we got to feed them? We got to feed that crowd. And can you imagine? We'd have probably been the same way. We'd have looked up and said, we got 200 pennies. We got 200 pennies. If we took the time to go to town, I doubt if that'd be enough to help them. It wouldn't be enough, really, for every one of them just to take a little. There's no way in the world with this amount of 200 pennies, there's no way in the world we could even buy enough to feed this multitude. They couldn't even take a little, much less supply the need that they need. And so he asked, he's asking for something, and all he got was doubt. I'm afraid sometimes in our work, we look at our world, we look at the situations we're in and all of that, and we look and God begins to move and wants his people to do something. Or sometimes he wants us as individuals to do something, and you know what? He gets the answer, well, I doubt. As wicked as it is, and the way things are now, and the coldness of our churches, and I doubt if we could accomplish that. I doubt we could, even as individuals sometimes, we think, I doubt if we could really do that. And God's looking for something. There's a need out there. He's wanting to do something. I believe Jesus was wanting to take care of this miracle. I believe he was wanting to feed the multitude. I believe he was wanting to help those he was faint and weary. But all he got was doubt. All he got was, I doubt if we can do. You know, I hear that a lot of times. I doubt if God can do anything in the days that we're in. We're in the last days, you know. I'm going to tell you what, just in passing, God, the last days ain't got a thing to do with God. Amen. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just as much God now as he ever has been. And the days that we're in don't have nothing to do with the power of God. It don't have nothing to do with the working of God and the ability of God. The problem is not God. The problem is we doubt. We doubt. We've been full in people. The news, as he talked about this morning, my friend, has convinced us that we're in such a mess that nothing can happen. And so we live in doubt. We doubt if we can win this community. We doubt if we can accomplish this. We doubt if we can do that or do that. And so he asked Philip, and all he found was doubt. Well, then the Bible said he asked again. And the Bible said, and look at it, in verse 7, Philip answered, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient that anyone may take a look. And one of his disciples, now Andrew's there, he's asked Philip, his disciples there, Andrew hears him. And Andrew speaks up, and he said, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? Yeah. Not only did he find out, he found defeat. He said, we got something, but it ain't sufficient. Wow. What is that among so many? Have you looked at this crowd? Yeah. Have you looked at this crowd? Have you looked at this problem? Have you looked at it? We'd be the same way. We're sitting there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there's 5,000 men plus women and children, and we would already be defeated. That we can't, that it's too big for us. We can't handle it. And so he found doubt. He found defeat. You see, you know, sometimes we're people today, God's looking for something. And you know what? All we offer is defeat. Sometimes we're defeated because of our past problems. I get sick of people talking about, well, preacher, this happened back yonder somewhere, and I just can't serve God. Hey, God forgive us and cleanse you from all sins. God can work in your life. God can do something. And if he couldn't do anything, you wouldn't be trying to ask it to accomplish something in your life. And some people are sitting around, they're defeated because of their past problems. Some people is defeated because of their present problems. Yeah. Amen. All they can talk about is the problems they're in and the situation they're in. And my friend, it's like you can't do nothing. I was preaching back in the early fall, and I drove up to this church. And when I got there, the pastor met me, Sister Janet, in the parking lot. And he met me in the parking lot, and I'm trying to get out of the car to get in the church. And he met me, and he said, Brother Goodson, I'm so sorry to invite you up here. Said we probably won't have many here. Said we got people on there traveling. We got people sick, and we got this, you know. Well, he said we got about, we'll probably have about 60 people here today. And what he didn't know, I preached the 9 the Sunday before, so 60 was wonderful for me. And he said, we won't have about 60 people. And by the time he got through with me in the parking lot, Brother Doug, I was ready to go to the Waffle House and eat. I didn't care where I preached or not. And finally I looked at him and I said, wait a minute, brother. I said, did you say we're going to have about 60 here? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, let's go in there and worship with 60. I said, let's go in there and pray and sing and preach and worship with 60 and see what we can get done. I'm going to tell you, people are looking at the crowds. It's amazing, and I know we all do it. I've done it. It's amazing how even pastors, all we see on Sunday morning is the empty pews. We don't see the pews. It's got people sitting in it. Right. And we let it defeat us, my friend. We can't compass because our main people ain't here. We ain't got no main people. We're all members of the same body, and we're all co-laborers together with God. Sometimes our present problems and our personal problems defeat us. And the first thing we say is, well, what is that among so many? We can't do that. We got a little bit, but we can't do too much. And so Jesus is looking for something, and all he found was the doubt. And all he found was defeat. But Peter, Simon came and looked at him and said that, which was Peter's brother, Andrew came and said, hey, well, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not only asked for what he was looking for, but he found what he was looking for.
Yes,
he said, there's a lad here with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Yes. What is that among so many? He said, where's that lad?
Yes. Glory.
And here comes that lad, and they bring him up to, I don't believe Andrew went down and got the lunch. I believe he brought the lad up there. My friend Jesus looked at him and saw the multitude, and he said, son, I'd like to take you lunch. Would you be willing to give you lunch? And my friend, the little lad, he didn't have doubt. And he down defeat. But Jesus found what he's looking for. You know what he was looking for? He was looking for a willing heart. A willing heart. Somebody that was willing to give what he had and let God take and my friend perform a miracle and feed this crowd. I mean, that little boy, he could have just said, hey, you ought to brought your own lunch.
Right. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. He could have said, this is my lunch. I'm going to eat this lunch and take care of this lunch. I can't help you didn't bring your own lunch. I can't help nobody else brought there. I can't help. And he could have made a lot of statements, went over somewhere and sat down in the corner and eat his lunch, but he wouldn't enjoy it.
Right.
You ever try to meet a meal, everybody looking at you? You're the only one eating. Don't you hate to show up late somewhere and everybody's done eating? You got to eat. Nobody just sitting there looking at you while you eat. You know, I'm like, go in the living room, you know. It ain't no fun. And this boy, he could have ate his own lunch. God would not have forced that lunch. God would not have told him to take that lunch away from him. I'll tell you the reason he got that boy's lunch and the reason he was able to accomplish what he accomplished was he had a boy. He found what he was looking for. Somebody that had a willing heart to let Jesus take what he had and do what he could with.
Amen.
This day, God's looking for people that's got a willing heart.
Yes, sir.
He was willing to share what he had.
Yes.
Jesus wouldn't ask him for something he didn't have.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You ever heard people say, well, if I had all kinds of money, I'd help you. Well, what do you got? I had a fellow told me one time. I know you're not supposed to do this, but he told me, he said, Brother Goodson, he said, if I had $100, I'd give it to you. I said, you got 20? Amen. I didn't even get 20. He wasn't willing to get what he had, much less what he didn't have.
Right.
No, y'all think I'm crazy, but I am. I just was trying to prove a point that we're always willing to get what we don't have. This boy, he didn't say, well, if I had more, he just was willing to give what he had. And you know what God's looking for? It's from people that's just willing to give what they have to God and be willing to let God take it and do something with it.
Sure. Amen.
He's willing to give what he had. He's willing to give all he had. Jesus didn't say, give me. You know, Jesus could have done this. He could have took 1 loaf of bread, 1 fish, and done the same miracle.
Right.
But he didn't want the poverty, he wanted it all. Amen. And that little boy was willing to give all that he had.
Yeah. Good.
You know what God's looking for? He's looking for somebody that's willing to just give all that they got.
Yeah.
Give all they got to God and give their whole life unto God and give everything unto the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 16-year-old boy. I run the flag up and said, God, I'll give you everything I got. You open the doors and I'll do it. I'll move in. I'll take it. And I gave my whole life and world to God as a 16-year-old boy to travel and preach and serve God. 16 years old. People say, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to travel up in this country and preach the word of God. Little did I know I would accomplish that mission. When me and Kay got married, and I've told you this before, wonderful proposal I made. Sat on the front porch on her mama's house about midnight one night, and I looked at her and I said, listen, I said, I got saved when I was 8 years old. God called me to preach when I was 16. I said, I've been preaching 5 years, and I said, that's what I'm going to do, travel up and down this country and preach and try to win people to God, help churches. And if you'd like to get in on that, I'd like for you to be a part of that. She said, I do, brother. We hooked up. Amen. That was my proposal. What I said is, we're going to travel, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to serve God, and I want you to go with me. You know what? My goal in my life was just to be willing to give everything we had to God. And this boy, God's looking for somebody that's got a willing heart to give all that they got. We're willing to give part, but we ain't willing to give all. Amen. And he was willing to share, no questions asked. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say, what are you going to do with it? He'd say, "What do you want my lunch for?" There's no question in there. He didn't ask no question. I believe it's just Jesus said, "I need you, Lord. Look at the miracles, son. The crowd, they're weary, they're faint. I need you, Lord." And I believe that boy just didn't ask a bit of question. He just trusted him and gave it to him.
Amen.
And we'll tell you what, God's looking for somebody that no questions asked.
Good. Amen.
Used to, we didn't ask questions. I was in a meeting in Alabama a few weeks ago, some young preachers, and I sure did want to let in on them, but Sister Ned, I behaved. There's about 10 or 15 of them, and they asking you, somebody want them to come preach, "Well, hey, well, where are you going to put me, and how much are you going to give me, and what all that stuff?" I'm sitting there thinking, man, we didn't never ask. We just went. Not know where we stayed. Man, we've stayed in Sunday school rooms. We've stayed in little outbuildings. We've stayed in good places and bad places. Never asked for a dime. Never asked what was going on. We just went. And when we got there, we just stayed where they wanted us to stay. And preached and tried to win people to God. Help you. Now everybody's got to have conveniences. We went over there. Brother Doug put us in a new motel this week. And I told Kay, I said, "Man, he must have meant it." He told us she was a legend. I said, "He must have meant it, man. Look here. Where he put us, man. First class." And Kay said, "We ain't never stayed in a place as nice as this." Man, we was moving up. We thought we was moving up, man. When you get 70-year-old, you move up a little bit. Amen. But what I'm saying is, he didn't ask no question. Today, people want to question, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do about this? How are you going to do that?" I tell you what, he didn't ask no question. He didn't know how God was going to do it. All he knew was God said, "I need your lunch." And he was willing to give his lunch. And God could do whatever he wanted to do with it. God's looking for some people that's got a willing heart. Just give your life to God and let him do what he wants to with it.
Amen.
Amen. I thought about how we ought to have a willing heart to pray, willing heart to give and go and labor, use our talents, give it ourselves to his plans.
Yeah, sure. Good.
That little boy said, "Well, if you'll do it this way, I'll give it to you."
Oh, my.
You know, if I get a little bit back from it, what am I going to get out of it? Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "Well, he got 12 baskets full, took home with him." Well, you don't know that. He didn't say that. I don't know what he'd done with them. In fact, let me just say this. Pastor, everybody talks about a miracle, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'll tell you a miracle. Where'd them baskets come from?
Yeah, right.
Amen. There's in the west, in the desert place. I've always, where'd the baskets come from?
Yeah. Yeah,
I asked it one time. A little boy come up out of church. He said, "I'll tell you where they come from." I said, "Where'd they come from?" He said, "The same God in multitude of 5 loaves and 2 fishes said baskets, and they showed up." I said, "I won't ask that no more." But what I'm trying to say is here, you know, I thought about others that had a willing heart. Right quick, I thought about Paul. Paul said, "I'm crucified to Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But it's Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live in by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave me." Paul said, "It's not I that live no more, it's Christ." Well, when you come to that place, it's not you no more. It's Christ. You know, people don't understand that. People don't understand when you live for God. I mean, you just live for God.
Right.
Wherever he wants you to be, whatever he wants you to do, whatever he wants you to go, yeah, that's just what you do. That's what you do. If God calls on you, drop your plans and you do what God wants you to do.
Right.
And I thought about the little widow woman. She had the widow mite.
Yeah.
She get what she had.
Right.
Boy, in that day, they didn't pass the offering like y'all do. In Jesus' day, he stood right there and watched them come. Boy, that'll make you pay your tithes up in a hurry, won't it? Jesus standing here watching you. And they stood there and watched, and they came, and they're putting money, and all of a sudden, Jesus said, "Whoa, wait a minute!" He said, "This woman's gave all she had. Y'all gave up your abundance, but she was willing to give all that she had."
Yeah.
Amen? You ever come to that place, you're just willing to give all that you got?
Yeah.
Amen? I was in a meeting one time down in Florida. They was taking an offering for a missionary like this, and they was taking an offering for a missionary, and he got really touched my heart about that little fella. And so I got my billfold out, but Doug is taking an offering, and I'm in there trying to flip through, see what I'm going to give. And I know I couldn't make up my mind what I was going to give, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, "Just give it all." I thought, "Whoa, wait a minute, you know. Amen. We would give some, but she gave it all." Remember years ago, my dad, the Lord laid on my heart for dad was going to give this guy that's having a hard time a suit. It's about the same size. And so he told him, said I'm gonna get, the Lord's lay on my heart, I'm going to give you a suit. Said, I'll bring it over at your house tomorrow. So Daddy went to the closet, Brother Doug, and he picked out a suit. He'd had a long time and wore a while, and he picked it out, got in the car, started over, and he said, Victor, he come back. And Mother said, what are you doing back? He said, the Lord's about to wear me out. And he went back to the thing, and he opened the door, and he said, all right, Lord, you pick it out. He had one brand new suit in there. The Lord said, that's it right there. Here come Daddy out with that brand new suit. Amen. Gave it to that preacher. You know, we're willing to give. Our second, we're willing to give. You know, it's like getting a pounding, you know. Y'all know what a pounding is? We call them pounding down home. We all call them up here. Huh? Pounding. I mean, I'm not talking about beat you up. Somebody beat me up a while ago, but I'm not talking about beating. I'm talking about grocery. They take up grocery. Hey, if you ever get them, you know what you get? Most of the time, you get dented cans and outdated stuff and stuff that's bad back there, you know, what you bought 2 or 3 years ago and you ain't never used. And they clean their closet. This is a good time to clean the closet out and give that preacher. It won't matter. Amen. Come on now. We ain't going to give him that best stuff. Come on. Come on now. Help me out. All you guilty, say amen right there. Amen. But you know, we don't want to give our best. We'll give something, but we don't want to give our best. But here, the widow woman gave all she had. I told her about the little widow woman with a meal barrel. The man of God said, make me one first. She could have said, no, ma'am, I'm going to take care of my son. We're going to eat it and die. She didn't do that. She gave what she had to the man of God. She was willing to give it all. And God turned around and blessed her. Think about my friend David. My friend, he gave himself to whip that giant. I think about the Mary, when it come time to worship God, she got the best and the most priceless possession she had, that alabaster box, and gave and poured it out on his feet. She gave her best. She gave what she had. She gave all that she had. In the Luke 1, the Bible said, he said, told Mary that you're going to suffer and you're going to bring forth a Christ child. And she said, I've never known a man. And he explained it to her. That is in you. This work is of the Holy Ghost. And she said, be it unto the handmaid of the Lord. These people had a willing heart for God to take what they was and have. You know, we talk about sanctification. You ever think about sanctification? Most people don't even know how to spell that, like me. Roberta can't say it. But you know what? In our day, people think sanctification is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, I'm sanctified because I don't do this and I don't do that. And I don't wear this, and I don't go here, and I don't do all that. And some of these preachers, you know, I'm like my daddy. One time, one of them guys got up and preached, and I don't mean to be funny right here, but he got up and preached, Brother Jackson, and he was preaching on things he didn't do and how holy he was and everything. And he had about 20 things that he didn't do, you know. He didn't buy gas on Sunday. He didn't do all this stuff. He didn't do all this. He didn't do a lot. And my daddy looked over at me. You know how daddy was. He's crazy anyway. And he said, I bet he don't even flush a commode on Sunday. They're so holy, they're afraid to do anything. That ain't what sanctification is.
Right.
Sanctification means set apart. Right. It's set apart what to serve. Yeah. Sanctification, they sanctify the priest, not to run around saying, I don't do this, but to serve.
Right.
And sanctification is you set your life apart to serve God.
Amen.
Give what you had and do what, use your talents, whatever you got for him. And my friend, let me say this. Not only did he ask, and then he asked and he found it, a man with a willing heart. But what he was looking for brought success. The little boy gave him his lunch. Doubt didn't help it. If Jesus had just stopped on doubt, this probably wouldn't even been in the Bible. It'd been a whole different miracle. It'd been a sad story. He didn't stop on defeat. This wouldn't have been in the Bible. Because it would have been nothing to tell. But the little boy with a willing heart, it's in the Bible because he had a willing heart. And God used it to bless us and challenge us and help us. And what this boy was willing to do is what brought success. And I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, God could have took some other way and done it. He could have. He could have been Brother Doug like in the Old Testament. He could have just called manna out of heaven. Fed that whole crowd. He could have done a lot of things. But he chose to work through that lad. And he chose to work through somebody that's got a willing heart. And God could do a lot of things. But you know what? God has chosen to work through us as a church and us as individuals. And he works through people that's got a willing heart to let God work through them, do what he can, accomplish what. The need was met. Hunger was fed. The bondage was left over. 12 baskets. And God All this happened in John chapter 6 is because one lad had a willing heart. Yeah. You know, willing to give what he had, willing to not hold back, willing to take what he had. You say, I ain't got much. Little is much if God's in it. God can take a dollar and do more than you can with a hundred. In fact, if you, this brother here, probably he'll probably agree with me. Did you know most mission work? You go to these bigger churches, and I'm not against bigger churches. Some of them I am, but I'm against some of the little churches. But you know the way they believe and what they do. But most of your bigger churches, Brother Doug, they don't support missions like this. If you ask the most of the missionaries, the most of the support comes through small churches. They have a heart for missions and they give. They sacrifice and they give. And God sends people on the field and people's things being accomplished. Most of these big churches all spend on themselves. Entertainment, fun, had a big time. God sometimes just takes the little things. Isn't it amazing how God can take some little something? Amen. You ever think about, where's it, Matthew chapter 14? When that storm came, Jesus walking out through there, and Simon Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come on the water. Now the norm, Peter was raised up fisherman. The norm was you don't jump out of the boat. That was the norm. You just stay in the boat. Storm comes, you stay in the boat. Remember in Acts 27, he said, if you don't buy the ship, you ain't going to make it. Yeah. Amen. Right. But Peter was willing. He said, Lord, if you bid me come on the water. Jesus said, come on. Yeah. And we throw off on Peter. He said, oh, he got up there and sunk. Well, at least he got out of the boat. But you know what? He was willing. He was willing to step out from the norm. Yeah. And God used him and worked in his life. And he walked to him. And somebody said, well, he sunk. Yeah, he may have sunk, but Jesus picked him up and they walked together back. Yeah, right. Sometimes we may sink, but when God picks us up, we don't want to get away from him too much. Yeah. Jesus then walked back in the water. You know what? Some people today, they're not willing to get out of the norm. Right. Amen. We come in, we sit down, we got our seat. We fold our arms, bless us as you can. Most churches, if you got 100 people, you got 10 people, does everything. If you got 1,000 people, you got 100 people, does everything. And some people just there. And it's just like automatically. It's just like automatically. When there's a need, we rise up. You know what we say? I ain't doing it. And get somebody else. I wonder what would happen if we had a church full of people that just had a willing heart. You can announce something, well, I doubt if that's going to work. Hey, we won't have no revival. We've had 3 or 4, we ain't had one yet. I don't know if we can accomplish that or not. I don't know if that's going to be any good. Wouldn't it be good if we just had a willing heart? Say, I'll go, I'll give, I'll do, I'll be a part of that. Amen. I'm not much, but I've done this for years. I pray every day of my life. I've been doing this for years. Me and my wife both do this. We pray every day, Brother Doug. Lord, use us. Use us somehow. Give us a discerning spirit. Give us a discerning spirit to know when somebody needs help, somebody has a need, somebody needs a word of encouragement, somebody needs a prayer, somebody needs... And you say, what do you pray? I don't pray in a selfish way. I just want to be a willing heart. God, you, whatever you want to do with us, that's what you do. Amen. If you want to use up whatever capacity, wherever you want to go, that's what we do. That's what you want to do. A fellow called me the other day, and he said, Brother Goodson, he said, don't you pray for us? I said, okay. He said, I don't have a piano player. His piano player is 90 years old. Up in the last 3 or 4 weeks, she's church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, cold, warm, 90-year-old, been playing piano for years. She's got cancer in real bad shape. He said, I don't have a song leader. Song leader's got cancer. He said, I tried to lead singing. He said, it's awful. It's the disastrous. He said, don't you pray for me. He said, I don't have a Sunday school teacher. Nothing. He said, I'm in a mess. He's a lot of sickness in his church. I said, I'm off Sunday. I'll be down there. I went down there and opened service up, led singing, took the offering, taught Sunday school, just done it all. Amen. He said, preacher, we ain't got no money to pay you. I said, I didn't come down here for pay. I come down here because you said you needed help. You need somebody to lead singing. You need somebody to teach. You need somebody open service. Amen? Come on now, help me out. I'm not tooting my own horn, but let's tell you, sometimes it ain't for benefits. Sometimes it ain't for this or that. It's just that there's a need. There's a need. This whole John 6, there's a need. And the only way it was fulfilled was with a little lad with a willing heart. God, give us somebody that's got a willing heart. Let God accomplish something through their lives, brother.
Did you know that you could receive a daily devotion every morning in your inbox? Head on over to ibcflorence.com and click on Daily Devotions to sign up today. And as always, thanks for listening.